Well, good morning. Is there a little buzz in the air, a little energy in the air today? It's so good to be here, so good to see some costumes down front if you haven't caught on. Things look a little different up here because today is our Christmas program, our children's and children at hearts participating in our Christmas program. We're so glad to have you here, that you can join us for this time, for this meaningful time of worship and to hear the Christmas story told again. I'm thankful to have you here. I have a couple of quick announcements to share with us as we get going. First being that our Yaha's Christmas party is tomorrow. They'll be meeting at noon down in the Fellowship Hall. I've been told they have good food, entertainment, and games planned. And if you haven't signed up yet, come anyways, or sign up. The sheet's downstairs. It's waiting for you to come and join us for that time. So if you're available and you want to join us, that is tomorrow at noon. We also wanted to make sure that you knew that there are the His Table tags. We will be serving a His Table meal on December 27th. They're a couple days after Christmas. We had a few members who really wanted to make sure we took time to have that meal. But they do have some of the tags out, if you could help with some of the food needs and some of the desserts that we need for that meal. So those tags are on the bulletin board downstairs, if you can grab one of those and help them out. And I also wanted to remind everyone, our Christmas Eve worship will be taking place this coming week. It's coming. Christmas is here, ready or not. And we will be having worship. We'll have three opportunities. Two of which will be here. We'll be worshiping here at 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock p.m. Please come and join us. And if you can't make the evening, I'll also be leading worship up in Leonard, Michigan at 2 p.m. We'd love to have you join us at any of those three times as we'll be having our Christmas Eve worship celebration. So please join us for that. And a final reminder that next Sunday, it is Christmas Day, but it's also a Sunday. So we are going to have worship. We're going to be here. And I've told people, and I've heard from a lot of people who are really excited, to wear your pajamas. Come as you want. Come comfortable for church. I don't care. It's Christmas morning. Come as you want to come that morning. We would love to have you. We're going to do some singing of our favorite hymns. We'll read through the Christmas story. It's going to be a fun morning. So that will be next Sunday for worship. And also just a reminder, we will be having a meal following worship. We're doing it kind of our His Table meal style, but it's a meal for anyone who'd like to come and have a Christmas dinner, that if you don't have other plans or other places to be, please come and join us. We'll be doing appetizers and fellowship from 11 to noon, and at about noon we'll be serving that meal. So if you haven't signed up, there is a sign-up sheet downstairs for that as well. We'd love to have you join us for that Christmas meal. But those are my announcements, and so I don't want to take any longer than I have to get us into this service, because I'm excited. I'm thankful to be here, thankful for this time, and we're doing things a little different this Sunday, but that's okay, and the choir's ready for us. Right, choir? You don't need any warm-up? All right, they're ready. Usually they get a little bit of time to get ready up here, but they're ready for us, so they're going to be singing their anthem for us. This is Still, Still, Still.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Oh God, in this time of worship, may we be open to your promises. May we be open to your love. May we be open to your transformation. May we have visions and have dreams. May we be surprised. May we receive the life that you have given to us. Lord, in this time, may we encounter Emmanuel, God with us, and may we never be the same. We pray this all in the name of the one who comes. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Bob and Carol Stoner forward as they'll be lighting our Advent candle for us today.
Fourth Sunday of Advent. Isaiah said that the Lord spoke to the king and said, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the Sheol or high as heaven." But when the king refused, God would not be stopped. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with a child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel."
God wants us to know, even when we aren't sure ourselves. God wants us to experience God's presence, even when we think we can handle life on our own. God sends us signs of God's presence with us. All we need to do is keep our eyes open and look.
"Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took her as his wife and had no marital relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus.
We light these candles, the candle of eternal hope, of proclaimed peace, of deep everlasting joy, and today of the presence that speaks of love, as a sign that no matter our circumstance, we know we are not alone.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Bob, for helping us with lighting our candle as we continue to move through this season of Advent. And we're going to take this moment, take a time in worship as we always do, to lift our joys and our concerns, to share those items with one another and with our Lord. And I have one that I have to highlight, one that I have to say thank you for, one joy I have to extend. If you were out on the lawn last night, you know what I'm talking about. We had our night in Bethlehem, our living nativity out there last night, and it was a great night. It's one of those nights that we can only plan so much for, but then God provides the light snowfall that fell on us as we were out there. And it was a fun time, a great time, having people stop by, having people honking down the road as they came by. And if you made it out, thank you for joining us. And if you didn't, we wanted to give you just a little glimpse of what we had going on last night. So can you play that for us, Lori?
Oh, little God of Bethlehem.
I do want to say a word of thanks to all of our characters who made it out, to all who were participating last night. A word of thanks to those who ran our refreshment table with the hot chocolate, making sure everyone got warmed up out there on our cold evening. Thank you to you all. And I especially want to say a word of thanks. I know he won't want me to do so, but I'm going to anyways. Say thank you to Nathan for all the work he did to get us prepped and the lights up and everything in place. Thank you to everyone. I had a number of people from the community who, I don't know who they were, I'm going to be honest, but they came up and told me how much fun it was, how much they looked forward to coming back this year after doing it last. So thank you for making that possible for that evening. I have one other joy that I was told we had to talk about, and I'm going to need Young's help a little bit here for this one, because I've been told that it might be Becky's birthday today. She's hiding her head behind there. She's trying to make sure I didn't make eye contact. But you know it's your birthday, and we're in church on Sunday. We got to sing to you. So can we sing to Becky here to this morning?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Becky. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Becky. Hope you have a great day. And then I have one more joy that was shared with me this morning that came in. I received a message from Brenda Brooks, and she was asking me to say thank you to the church family, to everyone who's been praying for her during her battle with cancer here. She received a test result this week, and she's happy to say she is now free of cancer, which we celebrate that absolutely with Brenda. She will be receiving immunotherapy for the next year, so she appreciates continued prayers for her continued healing and health, but wanted to say her word of thanks to everyone for your support. Those are the ones that were shared with me, the ones that I know of, but Guy and Nathan have the microphones. If you have something you'd like to share with us this morning, please just raise your hand and catch one of their eyes. We'll be glad to share with you this morning.
I just want to thank everyone for all the prayers you've been doing all this past year for Landon. He has been 3 months in the normal range. His blood counts are really good. They're saying he think it's a very successful blood bone marrow transplant. And by April, he will be completely cleared and safe. So again, thank you for all your prayers. It's been so beneficial. Thank you.
Absolutely. Amen to that. That is a joy to share. Thank you for continuing to let us know Landon's well-being, that he's doing so well from his transplant. And I know it's been a long time for the family, so we will continue to keep him in prayers. Thank you.
My grandson, Josh Silva, he earned his second-degree junior black belt last
night. Prayers for Josh. There's celebrations with Josh for earning his second-degree black belt. Thank you, Linda.
Continued prayer for Beth Eisen and the Carrolls, please.
Continued prayers for Beth and for the Carrolls, absolutely, in this time. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any others this morning? All right. Thank you, Jenny. Absolutely. We continue to keep those serving in our military. Those who won't be home with their families for Christmas, we keep them in our prayers. Thank you, Jenny. Well, then, I invite us to take these that we've heard, these joys that we've had, these things that we enjoy celebrating for sure, but also those concerns, those needs that we may have in our hearts, those people and situations we're aware of. Let us take just a moment before our God in silent prayer.
Thank you.
God of promise, you have given us a sign of your love through the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who was promised from ages past. As Mary and Joseph did, help us to place our trust and our confidence in you. Help us to move through these days knowing that you are at work. You are present in the gatherings and celebrations. You are present in the difficult and sorrowful moments. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You've not left us to our own devices. You've not forsaken us. You have remained faithful. You have kept the promises made. Lord, as much as we might want these days to be full of peace and joy, we still live in a world that is full of darkness. There are so many in our community, our nation, our world, who at this very moment are hurting. There are physical ailments, mental anguish, spiritual doubt. Lord, we have lifted some of those that we are aware of, some that are on our hearts. But Lord, the needs are far greater than anything we truly know. But we also know that, Lord, you know the needs, you know the hurts, you know the struggles of this world. You alone can offer comfort and strength. You can bring the peace that passes all understanding into our lives and the lives of others. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Bless us once again with that reassuring presence. Bless us as you have throughout our lives with the reminder that we are your beloved children. For we pray all these things in the name the angels sang on that first Christmas morning as together we join our voices to theirs in praying as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time, Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say in your time. I want to take just a moment this morning to give thanks for the offering and gifts that are brought here today that are brought to continue the missions and ministries, the many different things that we do as a church, as our church here in Romeo UMC. The nativity that we had last night, the fellowship meal that will take place tomorrow, the gifts given to Samaritan House, all those things that we've done, all those things that we continue to do. I offer my thanks to each of you. We do have our offering box on the organ there if you'd like to drop an offering here today. Of course, we also have our giving on our website at romeoumc.com. You can use our giving link there as well. I'll also remind you that we had our pledge cards go out a month or so back. We also have some extras out in the usher stand outside if you need one. We can still receive those. Even though we had our pledge Sunday or consecration Sunday, we'll still receive those. We'll still put those in. So if you have those, we'd encourage you to bring them in and drop them in the offering box or drop them by the office. We'll make sure they get put where they need to be. But let me take just a moment to offer a word of thanks and a word of prayer for today's offering. Holy God of hope and God of promise, When your children were in deep despair, you promised them a sign, the indication of a Savior coming into their midst. As we bring you our tithes and offerings this day, so many of us, we have those disappointments and discouragements. We are trying to find our way. Lord, we once again need your sign. We need your Son, not as a simple reminder of history, but as a new direction, a revolution of love that starts in our hearts, a resurrection of compassion that looks beyond self and the accumulation of more stuff, those things, those stuff that doesn't satisfy. We need what only a Savior can bring us. Guide us by your signs on this day, and as we begin the journey to Bethlehem once again, remind us that you are with us, for it is in our Savior's name that we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is coming to us from 1 Corinthians. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13, the gift of love. If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. Whew. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will fully know, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This, my friends, is the word of God, for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. That scripture got me this morning. It got me because of the children I see here in our midst. We've walked through the season of Advent together. We've celebrated the hope, the peace, the joy. And today is the love. And it was a few weeks, a month or so back, that Sandy came to me and said, what do you think about doing a Christmas program this year? And I said, oh yes, let's do it. I was so happy to hear her volunteer to help lead us in this. Will you take a moment and thank Sandy with me, please? She went to the effort. She did what was necessary to make this happen this morning, and I'm so thankful. Because I could have got up here and preached any sermon I could have possibly thought about love. I could have done that, absolutely. But when we looked at the calendar, we picked this Sunday, and I realized it was the Sunday of love. I thought, what better way to show that love than to let the children share it with us? To let them share God's love? What would make God happier than to have these children participating in worship today? So I am so thankful for all of them, for our wonderful narrators that are on stage with me, and for all of our cast that will be coming up here in the next little bit. And I would invite you to enjoy our show. They've practiced, they've gotten everything in order, but guess what? You're all participants today. Because throughout our show, like any good children's program, there are some songs we're going to sing. And as we sing those songs, the lyrics will be on the screens. Please join us in singing them. We want it to be a participation from all of you. You're all a part of our Christmas pageant today. So as those songs come up, you can sing them with us. We have a couple of soloists, a couple special songs for you that you can sit back and enjoy. But for the other songs, please sing with us. And I invite you now to enjoy this telling of the King's birthday as we recognize the love of the Lord come down to be with us as we celebrate the true heart of Christmas. Enjoy, everyone.
Good morning. In Bethlehem town, a long time ago, a baby was born, God's love to show. The shepherds all worshiped, the angels did sing, for it was the birthday of Jesus the King.
The birthday of a king! Doesn't that sound wonderful?
What are you talking about?
A king! Doesn't it make you think of satin, velvet, crown jewels, and royalty?
It wasn't like that at all. As a matter of fact, this birth was anything but glamorous.
No chariots?
Not exactly. Emperor Augustus had ordered a census. Joseph had to go from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea because it was the birthplace of King David, and Joseph was one of his descendants. It was a long trek.
But they must have had a chariot.
Nothing like it, in fact. We're not sure if Mary, Joseph's wife, walked or rode a donkey, but she was pregnant and probably arrived exhausted. When they finally arrived in Bethlehem, the time had come for Mary to have her baby.
Uh-oh. No hospitals, I take it. Maybe I'll stop complaining about some of my less than stellar birthdays.
Good idea. But even in the midst of all that, and mud, and walking what must have been seemed like forever, good things were beginning to happen. It started in the outlands, outside of the city limits, where shepherds were watching over their flocks by night.
But Mary and Joseph didn't know about this. They had even more problems to face down. The town of Bethlehem did have an inn, but when Joseph tried to get a room, there weren't any. The inn was full.
A strange thing happened. The innkeeper couldn't turn his back on the couple from Galilee. He had already turned a dozen people away that day, and it didn't bother him, but something about this couple did. Why can't I put that couple out of my mind? I've got all these employees. I have plenty to do myself. My inn is totally full. Why can't I stop thinking about them? First of all, the man looked exhausted. It was obvious that his wife was very pregnant. And the way that young man stared with his eyes pleading. But it was more than that. There was an aura about the couple that said that they had a secret, that they knew something that no one else in the world knew, that they understood something monumental was about to happen, and it would change the world forever.
Design all that's good and fine. salvation was a sign, was divine.
And I still have that strange feeling that I can't explain, as if something monumental is about to happen, as if this woman is not going to give birth to an ordinary baby, but to, well, royalty, or someone really special, like a king. Now, isn't that ridiculous? That baby could never be a king. His father's a carpenter from Galilee. But why do I feel so adamant that this is no ordinary birth and no ordinary occasion? Something that he was not at liberty to explain. They need shelter, a roof over their heads, a place to sleep, protected from the chilly night air. But I can't turn people out to give them a room. The stable! Why didn't I think of it sooner? If only I could catch him! Joseph! Joseph!
So this king wasn't born in a palace, he was born in a stable?
That's right.
But if this baby is really a king, wouldn't people have known what was going on? Shouldn't trumpets have been blowing, or maybe a display of lightning to announce his birth?
God announced his birth with a star.
A star?
A star so bright no one knew what to make of it. People all over the world saw it. Some recognized it as a message from God, but others had no idea what it meant.
Thank you.
There were many shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to him."
Back in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had no idea about this. All they knew was that the innkeeper had a sudden change of heart.
Let me guess, he gave him the best room in the whole place.
Not quite. He felt bad for them, Mary being pregnant and all, but he wasn't about to kick somebody else out of the inn. He told them they could stay in the barn.
You're kidding.
Unfortunately, no. Mary had been visited by an angel who told her she was going to be giving birth to a savior. At this point, she probably thought she had hallucinated.
We're talking sharing your bed with a cow?
And a mule, and a couple of sheep, and maybe even some squawking chickens.
What a mess. I don't think we're supposed to.
Oh,
A king, born in a stable, sleeping in a manger, and wearing rags. Anybody who found him in the manger might have considered him a pauper.
I think God made sure that didn't happen. That's why he sent the angels and the star. I think he wanted people to know that the prince was real, but different.
The Bible predicted this night for thousands of years. Some people were wise to it.
Three wise men from the east looked for the star and followed it. They found the Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There was Belshazzar, who brought the gift of gold.
Melchior brought the gift of frankincense, and Caspar brought the gift of myrrh.
I see the meaning of all of this. Born in a stable, a manger for a bed, everything about this baby was as humble as it could be. I think it meant that he was going to be a truly different kind of king and a different kind of leader.
And I think that is what Christmas story is all about.
The night. So tiring, so painful, so historic, and so unforgettable. Shows us what royalty really is. Jesus would grow up and say, "He who is last will be first. He who is first will be last." He proved it to us this night.
What more can we say?
You know what, guys? You're doing great. But let me sum it up for you. All right? Nearly 2,000 years ago, in an obscure village, a child was born of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked as a carpenter until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he became an itinerant preacher. This man never went to college or seminary. He never wrote a book. He never held a public office. He never had a family nor owned a home of his own. He never put foot inside a big city or traveled even 200 miles from his birthplace. And though he never did any of these things that usually accompany greatness, throngs of people have followed him. He had no credentials but himself. While he was still young, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His followers ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was sentenced and condemned to death on a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on all the earth, the simple coat he had worn. His body was laid in a borrowed grave provided by a compassionate friend. But 3 days later, this man arose from the dead, living proof that he was, as he had claimed, the Savior whom God had sent, the incarnate Son of God. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today the risen Lord Jesus Christ is the central figure in the human race. Our calendars mark his birth. They divide our history in two eras. One day of every week is set aside in remembrance of him, and our two most important holidays celebrate his birth and his resurrection. On church steeples around the world, his cross has become the symbol of victory over sin and death. This one man's life has furnished the theme songs for more songs, books, poems, and paintings than any other person or event in history. Thousands of colleges, hospitals, orphanages, and other institutions have been founded in honor of this one who gave his life for us all. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the governments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, have not affected the course of history as much as this one solitary life. You guys did all right in telling that story. Didn't they do all right? They did. We have one more song to sing, so I'm going to invite you all to stand with me as we sing our closing song. We're going to be singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." Take our big bow. Everyone step up here. Take your bow. Take your bow. One more time. Ready? Well, I think they did it right in telling that story, didn't they? And they looked pretty good doing it. That's one person I forgot to highlight before we started. Naomi was snuck in afterwards, but she was our costumier, I don't know what the title is for. She made all the costumes. Give her a round of applause. We, of course, have fellowship time down in the fellowship hall afterwards. We may even have some characters appearing if you want to get a picture for your own Facebook wall or Instagram. But let us offer this word for closing for our benediction. O come, Emmanuel. Come, Lord Jesus, fill our hearts today with your hope, your peace, your joy, and your love. Come and remind us that because of your miraculous birth, God, you are here with us, now and forever. We offer our thanks and praise. Amen. Stay right here, guys. Wait. Stay here. Step here. We're going to get a quick...